Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. With the Lord's help this afternoon, I'll speak to you from verse 18. The second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" The second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" David has been anointed king over all Israel, Judah and Israel. Those things that were set forth in the anointing by Samuel all those years ago that have come to pass. And David is now a king over all Israel, and he is in Jerusalem. And we find in this chapter David's heart is overflowing with gratitude to the Lord. We read at the beginning, the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies. It had been a great trial for David, anointed all those years ago by Samuel. While King Saul was king, and then all the opposition and all the difficulties, and when would these things be brought about? There was a great triumph when he fought Goliath. There was a great outpouring of love and favour toward David. But then we see the heart of Saul, the Lord withdrawing his spirit from Saul, leaving him to himself, and the jealousy that sprung up in his heart, and how he sought to kill David, how he hunted for David, the many hours of anguish, the many hours of trouble and difficulty. When would this promise be fulfilled? Well, here we find the fulfilling of it. First, he's anointed king in Hebron over the house of Judah. And then 7 years later, he's anointed king over Israel. And there's that uniting again. David, king over all. And what gratitude. Really, the prayer he pours forth is a prayer of thanksgiving. And we have a thanksgiving services today. But how needful we are of the Lord to draw out from us thanksgiving. David, well, his heart was overflowing, wasn't it, in gratitude to the Lord. So much so that as he sat in his house, he said it's a house of cedar, but he looks upon the ark of God, and it's in a tabernacle. And his desire, his zeal, his love to the Lord is such that he would build a house that he felt would be fit for the ark of the covenant to inhabit. He had a right It was a right desire, wasn't it? But it wasn't according to the will of God. You know, there's so many lessons, isn't there, in Holy Scripture for us. Even in just these opening verses. David's zeal, David's love, David's gratitude, overflowing in his heart, desiring to build a temple, a house for the ark of God to dwell in. It's dwelling within curtains. And what does Nathan say? Without consulting the Lord, he says, do. Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. But he had no, he only went on his own opinion. You say, well, surely, how could it be wrong? It's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do, and he's doing it in the right ways. He's doing it in love to the Lord, in a way of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord. He's using what he has and the influence that he has, and it's a good thing. And how could it not be? And really, Nathan's of the same opinion. But it's not of the Lord. And how we must be careful in our times of joy and thanksgiving, as our hearts at times are overflowing in gratitude to the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, do all that's in thine heart. Oh, but seek the Lord's direction. And Nathan was taught a lesson here, wasn't he? That very night, the Lord spoke to him. Go and tell my servant David, this is what it is to come about. David isn't to build a house. David isn't to build it. David's hands have shed blood. David isn't to build this house. David's son, not the 11 that have been born in Hebron to him, but a son yet to be born. A son will be raised up, and he will build the house, and it will be under his reign that this house, my house, will be built. And so Nathan, oh, he goes and tells David. He goes again and brings the news to David. Oh, but the Lord is gracious. In stopping David in his desire to render his riches, if you like, to give willingly to the and build this house, that the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful to David. The Lord speaks to him of great blessings, of a continuing of his kingdom through Solomon and onwards, but in a greater sense. Oh, that continuing the kingdom of his greater son, the Messiah. Oh, the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the mercy that was shown to David, that the blessings that he was brought into an awareness of, that would follow on. He says, concerning his seed, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Oh, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before him. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And David is overwhelmed. And David's heart is overwhelmed with gratitude. And this prayer of thanksgiving begins. Who am I? Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I? Who am I? Oh, what a most sweet and blessed place that is to begin with true thanksgiving. Who am I? Oh, beloved friends, if the Lord shines a light into your heart and mine, and you are shown some sense of your unworthiness, of your sinfulness, of your how undeserving you are of the least of his mercies, there isn't a soul in this chapel that wouldn't have true thanksgiving. There are some of you, no doubt, that have got very weighty things. Maybe you've not come up to the house of the Lord this afternoon with much thanksgiving in your heart. Maybe there's things that are overwhelming you at present. Maybe it's affliction or trouble in some form or shape, however it may be. And you find not much spirit of thanksgiving. But, beloved friends, oh, pray the Lord will show you yourself. Oh, that's a good prayer, isn't it? Show me myself. Now, the Lord gives you a little glimpse of the unworthiness of your heart, the sinfulness of your heart. Oh, what those sins deserve. Oh, then, really, truly, there will be thanksgiving. Oh, who am I, O Lord God? Oh, that thou shouldest take notice of me. Oh, you'll be like you'll be like Ruth. What did she say when she found favour in the eyes of Boaz? When she went empty to that field. Went as an outcast, as a foreigner, and when she was shown such mercy, when she found favour in his eyes, when he spoke so kindly to her, when he so kindly dealt with her, oh, she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? She knew what she was. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I'm not like unto the other handmaidens. Oh, I'm from a foreign land. I'm not like unto them. Oh, but I found room to glean, and more than that, though, I found some handfuls of purpose. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And what about you and I? Oh, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take notice of me? See, I am a great sinner indeed. And I'm not worthy of the least of thy notice. And I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And yet, daily mercies are shown. Daily, that my needs are supplied. Just the extending of time toward me, the lengthening of my days. Oh, truly, thou hast not dealt with me after my sin. For if, Lord, thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Oh, who shall stand? Oh, who, if the Lord dealt with us as our sins deserve, well, where would we be? Beloved friends, what a wonder it is that the Lord has mercy on anyone. What a wonder of wonders, given the sinfulness of mankind. What a wonder it is that any should be found loved with that everlasting love. And then King David went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord?" Before we go on, I'd like to just mention one thing. And what a difference this is when David is at rest. You only have to turn over a couple of chapters, and David at rest. His hands are idle. The Lord has given him rest from his enemies. And he's sitting. He's sitting on his rooftop, sitting in his house, and he spies out the window at that woman. Beloved friends, what a warning for us. When we do have some measure of ease, and some measure of rest, and some measure of calm in our lives. David, in this chapter, is in a most sweet and blessed place. Oh, the Lord has blessed him. He desires to go into the house of the Lord. Oh, but you turn over a few pages of your Bible and you find a different David. A David that's left to himself. A David that, well, he should have been out. He should have been doing things. But a David who left to himself, had inclination and opportunity coming together and there falling into that dreadful sin of adultery. Oh, that you and I might take heed and lay these things to heart. That when maybe we've had a great trouble or a long prolonged period of difficulty in our lives and the Lord delivers us and brings us through it. And that yes, there's gratitude and thanksgiving and it then recedes. And then we're not as prayerful and as careful as we have been. And we're not leaning as hard daily as we have done. And we find ourselves, our eyes are wandering, our hearts are wandering. Oh, what need we have when things are going well to be kept. Oh, what a prey we are to Satan when we're walking with a measure of ease and a measure of peace in our lives. May we lay these things to heart. Oh, David here is in a sweet place. As I said, a few turns of the pages of Holy Scripture, and what a solemn warning it is left on record. That David here went in and sat before the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Oh, the Lord had brought him. The Lord had brought him along. The Lord had said to him, "And I was with thee," this is verse 9, "and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Oh, who am I? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Well, the Lord had brought him to this place there had been that fulfilling of those promises. And looking back over your life and over mine, at least occasions when we stop and we pause for either anniversary services or Thanksgiving services, the times of to reflect and to consider and to ponder all the way the Lord our God has led us, has brought us hitherto. Oh, and what mercy in bringing us hitherto. What mercies have been shown. What mercies have we experienced. Oh, David, you'll remember David when he was, well, he had fled, hadn't he, to the Philistines. And then feigning himself to be mad, we find himself, he flees then to that cave of Adullam. Oh, what a place that was for David. Fleeing to cave Adullam. And there, here he became captain over those that gathered themselves with him. And what a little rabble it was. The discontented, those that were in debt, those that were in distress, not the anointing and the reigning of a king over the whole nation yet, but over this company that gathered themselves to him in that cave Adullam. Oh, David, proved the Lord's mercy. As one by one they gathered with him, those that were discontented, and he became captain over them. Oh, hitherto had the Lord brought him. And what had he learnt? Oh, many times he'd proved the Lord's faithfulness, the Lord's kindness, the Lord's mercy. Many things had come upon him, which he couldn't understand at the time. He couldn't reason, but who can when you're passing through them? But there'd been that nevertheless afterward. And this was for David, that time where it was yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Or he was looking back in gratitude. You think of David when he returned from that battle to Ziklag. And what does he find? Everything's been destroyed. The women, the children have been taken captive. The city's been, Ziklag's been burned with fire. And they've returned from the battle. What a distress. Oh, what a thing. Doing that which was right, and yet everything around him going wrong. Seeking to do that which the Lord has set him to do, and yet finding everything working seemingly against him. As he's away fighting, somebody comes and, well, the Amalekites spoil Ziklag, burn it to the ground, and take the women and children and their possessions away. And we read David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. What a day of distress. Oh, a day that they, oh, you think, how can we get through this? How can we endure this? Suffering this great loss, this great distress, this great day of trouble. David's two wives were taken. David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. What did David prove? My grace is sufficient for thee. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, he was brought to the feet of Almighty God. Brought to plead, brought to wrestle, brought to plead the promises. Oh, hitherto has had the Lord helped him. Oh, the wrestling prayer at the feet of Almighty God, pleading for help, for direction, for restoration, for return of those things that were taken, for a day of blessing, for a day of recovery. And the Lord heard, the Lord answered, and under the Lord's direction, they recovered every single thing. Nothing was lost. They pursued them and took back that which was theirs. David, passing through many things. Well, beloved friends, what about you and I? What about you and I? As you look back, maybe you're looking back over the past year since the last Thanksgiving service. Maybe you're looking back over all your life this afternoon. You see your life stretching back, and you have to acknowledge as you view the many things, the many answers to prayer, the tokens here and there of the Lord's mercy. Oh, and so undeserved, and yet so freely given. Is it that this afternoon? Who am I? Why have I found favour? So many don't. Why? Why was I made to hear thy voice? Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Oh, how could he so sweetly smile on such a wretch as I who his name did once revile and his dear truth deny? Maybe you look right back, days when your thoughts weren't toward God, days when you had no desire, days when you felt nothing toward his name. And hitherto has he brought you out of that spot, out of that dreadful dark place, which Paul says and describes is dead in trespasses and in sins. Or maybe you see so much more ground yet to be possessed. You're not sitting here this afternoon satisfied with yourself. Oh, there's much you wish was better in yourself. Oh, but what change there has been. I'm not what I once was. I'm not what I should be or would be, but I'm not what I once was. And it's by the grace of God. Who am I, O Lord? What purpose is this which has been shown toward me? What is this? What is this blessing? This opening of my eyes? This feeling of my sin? This fear of eternity, this overwhelming need to plead for mercy at thy feet. What is it, Lord? It's a blessing, but what does it have in store? What does it speak of? What is laid up? what is to come. Oh, hitherto I've been brought. I have been brought to his feet. I have been brought to plead for forgiveness of sin. Oh, but why? Oh, is it that I might be found in glory at last? Is this hitherto that I've reached thus far? Is this place in my little life? Is it that straight and narrow way? Am I on that right path? Is the Lord bringing me nearer and nearer and closer and closer? Is he drawing me away from this world and bringing me home? Or is he leading me day by day nearer and nearer to himself? Oh, who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Well, has he brought you? He brought David. He brought David. He brought him along the way. Brought him through many dangers. Brought him through many things. Brought him from the sheepfold. Set him in at the royal court. For a purpose. Where's he brought you, beloved friends? How far has he brought you? Has he brought you away from yourself? Has he brought you away from trusting in yourself? Or maybe you've not had that sweet sense of sin forgiven and a sweet pardon of your sin. Maybe guilt and condemnation still lies heavy on your heart. But has he brought you to that place of needing and wanting? I must have Christ. Just give me Christ or else I die. What a place to be brought. You can't bring yourself there. You didn't bring yourself there. Who can deliver himself from his sins? Who can set the captive free? Certainly not the captive. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Is the Lord, little by little, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, stripping away props and things in your life? Is he bringing you to rest more and more on him? To seek more and more of his face? More and more you're finding yourself insufficient? And more you're seeing a sweet attraction in him? Oh, in his person and in his finished work. Oh, how precious is Christ. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, is he precious to you and is he to me? Oh, he'll be precious to you, beloved friends, if he shows you a little of yourself. Show me myself. Lord, show me thyself. Oh, it's to look as the Lord shows us upon our failings, but oh, to be brought to look away. Pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, kind as strong, mercy joined with power. Mercy to save, power to deliver, power to bring forth, to uphold, to maintain, to bring in at last. Oh, the mercy which is in God. Who am I, O Lord? Oh, why was I made to ponder eternity when so many are going about their lives unconcerned? Oh, why was eternity brought before my eyes, a never-ending eternity, the judgment day? Why? Oh, why has sin, which used to be so sweet to my taste. Oh, why is it now so bitter? Oh, is it becoming exceeding sinful to you? Oh, is it... You find at times, don't you, going back to things, maybe not outwardly, but the mind, the thoughts. Oh, but it's not as sweet, is it? It's bitter, isn't it? Oh, why the change of taste? Why the appetite for the things of God? Why should I have a hunger and a thirsting after the things I once set at naught, things I once despised? Oh, why is it that the Lord's dear people, who once were strange and peculiar to me, yet why is it I delight to hear them talk? Why do I find in my heart a uniting to them, a drawing to them? Oh, is it not that love of God working in my heart? Oh, who am I, O Lord? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Oh, I've not attained. I've not finished my course. Oh, but I'm pressing. I'm pressing toward the mark. Oh, that I might know him, said Paul. Oh, that I might be found in him. Oh, he's not leaning to his own righteousness. Oh, but he's seeking that, to know more and more of Christ Jesus and him crucified. More and more, as he's living his life, the Lord is bringing him, leading him more and more into the sufferings and the pathway of his dear Saviour. The flesh is crucified more and more as he lives his life. More and more he's finding, oh, the wretchedness of his heart, but the mercy and favour and grace of God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus my Lord. Oh, hitherto. Oh, you don't want to go back. You don't want to live your life again. Oh, you don't want to live another day again. Oh, that's behind. Oh, but lead me on, Lord, nearer and nearer, more and more leaning upon thee, more and more trusting in thee, more and more finding myself weak and insufficient, but more and more finding a faithful and unchangeable friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that loveth at all times. Oh, who am I, O Lord? Samuel, he raised a stone, didn't he? Between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, may the Lord help us each, and give us a stone, that we might raise it as a monument, as a marker, as a waymark, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It's by his mercy and his favour that we've reached to this point. And it's how can we continue in his mercy and in his favour, seeking him day by day, seeking grace and faith and patience, seeking his love to be made known to us more and more, seeking his wisdom and his grace, that it might be shed abroad in our hearts, that we might continue steadfast to the end. And though, like David, we may have days of distress to come, days of deep disappointment, days when we sin and grieve and we backslide, but may we know that resting place. Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Oh, that we might have his word as a seal into our hearts. May we be brought to stand on that solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. And though storms and billows are around us, we might remain steadfast to the end. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" Amen.